Welcome again. Thank you for pausing from this amazing life that is so apparently busy and filled with happenings and friends and challenges and beauty. Ah, so here we are. So satsang is dedicated to our naturalness, to that which is at the heart of everything. It's the celebration of that. And we gather together to trade notes on how curious and wonderful and occasionally overwhelming the infinite is. So what do you notice? If you'd like to share just star six, and then when it feels complete, star six again. When the body-mind slows down a bit through resting or some sort of athletics or just through grace, we can really notice the stillness at the heart of everything. Where I'm sitting now on this bench with my dog at my feet, the leaves are lazily falling down. The bees are humming. Blue jays are coming for sunflower seeds. We don't notice this everyday beauty when we're restless, the body-mind is restless, or when we're running around. But there's no judgment about the running around because the unmoving loves movement, so. And the fact that the deep noticing happens when it does, the rareness of it is underscores how precious it is. So what are you all noticing? Once again, just star six if you're so inclined to share. So we can just all rest.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
This is Anandi.
Hi. Oh, hey. How are you?
Oh, doing good. Thank you. Doing good. I've been enjoying your calls this summer. Yeah. Thank you. I'm actually in the process of moving. My boss is actually sending me over to Prescott Valley, Arizona, real close to Sedona. And the last 48 hours, you know, things have been going well in preparation, but I have a tremendous amount of anxiety that's coming up. And when I inquire and I go within, what I'm witnessing is an aspect of myself that's totally shut down. And so that's where I'm at right now. It's like being present with that part that is just like turned away from everyone and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let it know that it's very welcome here. Everything is welcome here. And how is it in this moment? What's noticed?
Breathlessness, not feeling safe.
Yes, yes. And so it's asking you what's true. Is it safe this moment?
Yes, it's safe this moment.
Good, good. Yeah, and just patiently, timelessly being with it, reassuring.
Now it feels like the clenching of the mind is relaxing.
Wonderful. And just to that, yes, 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 it's safe, it's safe.
And I'm beginning to breathe again.
Very Yay. Wise the body is to breathe. Yay. Oh, sweet.
Thank you.
Oh, much love to you, dearest.
Yeah.
Hello, Pamela.
Yes.
Hello, this is Sarah here from England. I was the one with the operatic mother at Les Damias.
Lovely. Welcome here.
Thank you. I have to say, when I got home, my mother seems to have stopped on the whole doing her drama thing. So it's been much more peaceful since I got home from that. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful.
And since the end of the retreat, something very beautiful has been happening, that whatever arises has been just being received in the heart, rather than spinning around and being processed in the head. But there's the and then, you know, after the retreat and home for a while, and stuff comes up that isn't landing in the heart quite so nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I feel really stuck with. I'm taking my mother 7 days a week, every afternoon, to visit my father in the nursing home. When my husband's here, we take it in turns. And this is fairly recent. And it feels like a very, very big commitment and loss of freedom. And it's also freely given.
Yes.
And there's a really strong story that keeps coming with some beliefs behind it. The story is, my husband is 10 years older than me. He's not in perfect health. My parents actually might live for many years. There's this tremendous, tremendous, tremendous longing to be really fully with my husband and enjoying our time together. We haven't been together all that long. And we're having to do things separately in order to facilitate my parents' relationship. And there's some real underlying belief there of that I'm not free in the deeper sense. But it just keeps coming and coming, this story,
yeah.
And it's hard to discern what's just a future story and what's some actual reality that maybe needs to be changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, just honor the longing at the heart of the story is for really just exquisite timelessness with your husband.
Yeah.
And just say yes to that. Just yes.
Oh, yes. That was a very big yes.
There it is. Very nice. And just say, of course love can have that.
Yeah.
Because it's love's own longing, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
And maybe love having its deepest freedom is welcome here. And change the words until it resonates, but it's inviting love also to uncontain itself.
Yeah. Sort of goes, it's like I can feel this sort of expansion and then it just stops. It's like, whoop, can't go any further here.
Okay, now just thank that. That's just some sort of protection.
Yeah.
You don't have to know.
It's like something saying, well, actually, this story is real. This situation is real. You can't let yourself get carried away with this longing because it just produces suffering.
Yeah, but just thank it. I promise to be practical.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love having its absolute freedom and being totally practical is welcome here.
I can see something now that there's a belief that a situation has to be a certain way in order for love to be its biggest self.
Yes.
I'm putting a condition on it.
Yeah, and we're just as soon as love uncontains itself, then it, you know, lives the life and attends to everything.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah.
And also we can just love or grace resolving any anything that isn't real, relaxed, in balance is welcome here.
Everything's becoming more kind of panoramic.
Beautifully
my peripheral vision's opened up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of inclusiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just sort of let that kind of soak in, or I'll soak in it.
A circle of soaking.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Lovely being with you.
Thank you so much, Pamela.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
So I heard a hello from a gentleman, but now you're silent, which is, of course, your nature.
Hello, Pamela.
There you are. Charlie.
Charlie, yes. So what I'm noticing is this is between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's the time of forgiveness and amends, making, you know, asking forgiveness, giving forgiveness, and looking back. I've been very limited in my life because of dyslexia and ADD, and there's a great shame and guilt about it. And there's also guilt about not being able to forgive, like certain previous spiritual teachers I had. There's just this hard, you did this, and it's not letting go of the story, you know. And this is so, how does one, and also just the shame. I'm an intelligent person, and I've been, I'm good at sitting in one place and doing nothing like this, you know. But in terms of working, like having to
You know, Charlie, I have to say that not all beings are active, energetic, big doers. Some of us are designated sitters.
But
you know, so we're holding the silence for the group consciousness. Not that everything isn't made of silence, but...
Yes, but one has to function in the world, you know, and I'm a, if you notice, I'm a big guy, and there's a part of me that wants to be a mover and a shaker. So
just you know, that each one of our minds pretty much has a file on the deficient nature of the embodiment, and it's rare it ever keeps a file on the naturalness and the sparkle and the uniqueness and the absolute value. So
well,
just
yeah.
Can you honor yourself?
I can honor myself, but the distractedness and the indecisive. I mean, afterwards, after this satsang, what should I eat for breakfast? What should I do today? There's a paralysis in the simplest decisions.
But you know, it's easier. See, basically, your mind says it's seems like your mind is saying it's a bit tired. It would like to rest. But the body, doesn't the body know what it wants to eat for breakfast and what it wants to do that day?
That's what I do.
I just ask the body.
Well, there's something. No, I have certain routines. I'll say I get up and start thinking, and then I'll say, okay, let's go to the usual routine of oatmeal or you know, something very simple, because if it doesn't feel like it's the body deciding, I wish it was.
Well, it is. It's simple. It likes simplicity, and it likes constancy, and it likes to be nourished.
Well, constancy is one of the key words, the commitment, constancy, and some other C words.
Consciousness.
Consciousness, right? These are the words I write regularly over the years, you know, that if I had them, then I would be in the right direction. So.
Yeah. Well, you are the constancy. Everything else came and went, and you're still here.
Yes, that certainly pulls the tablecloth off the table, and all the things are still sitting there. Yeah.
That's right. There goes breakfast off the table. I'm joking.
No, it doesn't. You know, the magician does it, and everything stays on the table, and there's the tablecloth. But there is, I more and more appreciate the stillness of the trees, and it's not exactly the stillness. I mean, as nature has elements that we can resonate with, and I'm appreciating that more, and I'm getting more more heart, you know. But there's this forgiving myself and forgiving others is mm-hmm. what really I mean, I end relationships, you know, rather than I've lived a very not relational, communal sort of life, which I sort of feel is the way we humans live.
Yes, but just to honor your own unique path. Not all of us are social animals. Yeah?
Yeah, but,
and forgiveness is actually already there, as well as lack of forgiveness. Because they're not two, those. And we certainly notice the lack of forgiveness. But, of course, you know, the mind is trained to scan for problems. So it rarely notices the forgiveness that's there as well. So now maybe we could honor forgiveness and lack of forgiveness and bring them together, because that's the ultimate resolution, is allowing the polarities to come home together.
Well, how does one... So my mind thinks, oh yes, thinking of someone, I think, yes, I forgive you. No, I don't forgive you.
But just for a moment, they're just opposites. If you take the personal nature out of it, and just bowing to them, because in order to play, so to speak, a character, the character is woven of all the opposites. And it's an impersonal weaving that then becomes personal, because personal and impersonal are also opposites. So we're just bowing to the whole play. Eventually, sages get wonderfully lazy and just do this sort of universal omnidirectional bowing and blessing.
I could feel the relaxing and the utterly melting in the bowing, and there's a yes, you just, like you say, the remembering what you just said in previous meetings, where, you know, if you look at the opposites, then there's a certain sort of wonder there, I think. Oh,
beautifully said.
Well, there's a sort of, it's so relaxed, I think there is the grasping and agitation of the mind to want to do something rather than just like I'm feeling what's coming through. It's like all in the stream.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in the stream of life, the forgiveness and the unforgiveness, and you just
the river doesn't make any, the stream doesn't make any distinction. It's just blessing all of it.
Right.
Yeah, washing it all.
Yeah.
Beautiful satsang, Charlie.
Okay. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you for bringing that into our awareness.
Thank you, yes. I love your work.
Oh, sweet.
Yes,
oh, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Pamela?
Yes.
Hello, it's Amandine.
Hello.
Yes. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay. I wanted to speak today because I have had some thoughts during the day and thought about my ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
And I remember 1 year ago I was craving for peace, and I felt it was the ultimate resolution concerning that relationship, and it would be perfect once I reached that peace. And And now that I feel fairly at peace, I feel that the chaos I felt before and the peace I feel now are one polarity. It's I don't know how to phrase it, but it's almost the same, chaos and peace. It doesn't make any difference. It makes a difference. It's more comfortable to feel at peace. But
So that's an amazing noticing. Wow. Chaos and peace, same.
I don't know. That's what I feel.
Oh, no, but it resonates for you, doesn't it?
Yes.
Wow, that's
But huge. I feel that it's... I don't know. But it's still something about him. I saw him this weekend, mm-hmm. and I feel there's a little something left that hasn't been resolved. So it's been haunting me in the last few days.
Okay.
And he called me. I didn't talk to him, but he left me a message. And I feel there's something between us that hasn't been resolved yet.
Okay.
It's not a craving to go back to him or to start again, because I know it's not possible. It's not the point. But there's still something there. And,
yeah, so maybe just a little compassion to that
sense
that's unresolved.
Mm-hmm.
So a little compassion, tenderness.
It's always so powerful when I see him. It's like there's something, it will always be there.
Yes.
I don't want to go back to that, but it's something so deep. That,
And can you honor, does it feel like the something that's so deep is love or a connection? Or?
Yes.
So one thing that helped me is to honor the love and keep the love and let the attachment go.
Yes. I tried that. I tried a little exercise. It's called the match. I don't know how to translate. You have to draw two characters, yourself and the other person, and then you draw the attachment lines between the two persons, and then you cut it with a knife. Scissors. A pair of scissors.
Mm-hmm. So just in this moment. Just
mm-hmm.
honoring the love. Love is eternal.
Yes.
And it's pretty choiceless. It loves who it loves. And so we let the love have its freedom, really.
Yeah.
Just for keeping the love, but letting the attachment rest. Because
mm-hmm.
attachment is not real, but love is real. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know it's the same for him, but he doesn't know how to deal with it, but mm-hmm. it's the same feeling for him. It's beyond him also.
Yes. Just a few times, even as sorrow is moving through, we can just honor that as love as well. Love is welcome here. And then it uncontains and balances itself rather than us doing anything.
How to get to let go of loss also.
Of loss?
Yes, the loss of that's.
Yes, okay.
As it was before.
Ah, just apparent loss of love is welcome here. Just apparent loss of love. Finally, we as sages and as love itself, we have to sit with, unfortunately, have to sit with loss of love, the illusion, the perception of that, and just with big-heartedness, loss of love is welcome here.
Yeah.
Maybe bring the two together, love and loss of love.
Yes. I think the love has always stayed, been there, but it's the loss of the relationship. So, because we are not together anymore, it's just that kind of loss. Yeah.
Yeah. But just let love know it's welcome here and it can return in a new form. Would that be all right?
Yes, of course.
And we're just reassuring the body, mind, and innocence in the heart that love is eternal. And that it shape shifts, but it never leaves. It just changes form. And it's natural not to like that. Just love is welcome here, or the felt sense of the constancy of love is welcome here. But this is just a suggestion. You would know best what you're sitting with.
I see an ocean, and it's there are no breaks. It's like it's there. Yeah, there are waves, but it's not. I don't know how to say.
That's beautiful. So you're saying love is an ocean, and there's no breaks, meaning always here, but then there's waves.
Yes.
So true.
It's much better.
We notice that our body mind is love too, which is why its resonance is love. Everything's animated by this eternal love. We can even honor ourselves as that, and the body mind, and all the beautiful emotions that move through, also as love.
Because some people recently told me that I disturb them in a good way, but I don't know what to tell them.
Yes, but you also bring peace, right?
I guess.
Yeah, both of you.
I don't know what to say. I don't know, and I have no words for them when they tell me that.
Yes, it's a good point. Better not to say anything.
So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Thank you. Much love to you.
Much love.
Hey, Pamela, it's Kate.
Hello.
Following on a little bit from what Almandine just said, and there's something that's coming up for me today that I'm really confused about. I've been pretty ill the last 5 years, and I've been out of touch with all my friends. I haven't really been seeing anybody. And then just recently I got back in touch with long-term friends who I love very much. And yesterday one of them got married, and I went to her wedding, and it was all very beautiful. And so I was with lots of people that I've known for a long time but haven't been in touch with for a long time. And I found that when they... Can you hear me?
I can.
Sorry, I wasn't sure because it gone very quiet. Okay, so I don't quite know how to describe it, because this isn't a criticism at all. I found it difficult to speak because, say, for instance, people like to... have a moan or run somebody down or complain, or and obviously they're looking for support in that, and I like to give that, but I can't join in anymore. I don't know how to be with that. And if I say something, I'm very careful not to be kind of preachy or spiritual, but things slip out, and then I'm aware that they're taken aback or don't like it, or I don't know really what I'm saying. It's kind of they all got drunk and I didn't, and then I don't really know how to be.
Yeah, but just it was a unique experience, because you went from the known back into, you know, old friendships and at a wedding and all that, and it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of, I don't know if I had a role before of friend that had to be a certain way, and maybe that role's gone, and do you understand?
Yes, but there's a natural awkwardness. Yeah, there can be a natural awkwardness when all of a sudden you're back in a social situation. Yeah, for me, I just, because I also sometimes feel that awkwardness when I'm invited somewhere and there's a group of people I don't know. But, you know, there's that unshakable recognition within you that everybody is consciousness and everybody is neither free nor bound. It doesn't matter if they're playing a role or not. Yeah. But then for me, that's my little anchor, is I just am honoring everybody's true nature. And to me, since I'm a weird, quirky sage, I really like kind of savoring all the human notes. And I noticed that, as you said so beautifully in the beginning, that when people are complaining or stuff, they just are wanting us to hold space.
Yeah.
For whatever they're being with.
Yeah.
And it does. It's such an amazing thing just to share something that was upsetting or overwhelming or with a friend. And that, honestly, is probably 25% of all of human communication is. And it's awkward because as humans, we're awkward.
Yeah, they kind of want you to join in, and there's the... They're sort of, if you don't join in, then there's something wrong.
Yeah, but it's like you can find the truth in what they're saying. Most people are just always saying the same thing, like, wow, that touched me so deeply, it overwhelmed me or devastated me, or like...
Yeah, they're just hurt. Most times they're just hurting.
Yeah, and we're going, as a sage, we're going, yeah. You know, that's what's so funny is that it doesn't matter where anyone's speaking from. And that's kind of why life presents, if we're hermit types, social situations like that to remind us, wow, we're all the same. Everyone's looking for the resolution, the constancy, the listening space. You know, and even with all the drinking, they're just trying to sedate their body mind, which is what we all do with satsang.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. We're all the same. It's so weird. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, have another drink. Or don't have that other drink. That may be not what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And it's so lovely. Every gathering has to have a listener. So you are the listener.
Okay.
Everybody else was being the talker, right?
It was very, it was a whole beautiful day. It was beautiful to be with them again. And I was just a little not sure how I could be with it, really.
Yes. I notice I will be a little rusty in the beginning. Do you have that phrase? A little rusty, a little...
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
A little awkward, and then all of a sudden I get, okay, right, okay. I can do this. Not this.
Yeah, but I'll say things quite kind of this way. I naturally say it, like a friend was saying to me, oh, you live in the city now, oh, I don't know how you live there, because I used to live in the countryside, and I don't know, you don't like that, how can you stand it, it's so awful. And I just said something like, well, it wouldn't do me any good if I craved to live in the country, because this is where I am, so I have to be. And, you know, it would just make me unhappy to be constantly craving to be back there. And they looked at me, it was really strange, because I'm meant to be looking for future and change, and I'm not.
No, but they were just kind of stunned by your honesty. Yeah. It's just so, I love that, because it's instantly, you're not in a script anymore, you're in an improv, something fresh, Because you're just honest going, well, you know, I love the country and I'm in the city and that's where I am, so I'm not. Mm. You were just telling your truth.
Mm.
And then everybody's mouth opens, go, wow, it's okay to tell the truth. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Because I guess that's what I was sensing, that when I did say things, people kind of reeled a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it wasn't what you were supposed to say. You're supposed to, you know, want and need and future and past.
Mm-hmm.
And and when that wasn't happening, I could feel them go, oh, you know, I could feel their sort of, not shock, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. But this is so good.
It just made, I didn't know how, it was a bit, made me a bit uncomfortable.
Yes, awkward and rusty are definitely part of the human song. As well as flowing and graceful and gracious. I like honoring the weird, apparent, discordant notes, you know, like awkward and...
Yeah, I guess it is just when you're... When, I don't know, you have this sense of other people's feelings and you don't want to make them feel awkward and uncomfortable.
Oh, no, you didn't. You were just being true and natural. It's actually, it's very relaxing when somebody in the group isn't in scripted role play and reaction. It's sort of like, oh...
So I said, told one of my friends how beautiful she looked, and her dress really suited, and her colours really suited her face. And her husband said, oh, you know how to say the right things. I said, no, I either say the truth or I don't say anything.
Oh, well said. There you go.
So it was a bit like that. I kept getting sort of that kind of response, you know, that kind of, you're acting weird because that people, you know, you're not supposed to not want future and say nice things.
don't believe all that. You know, everybody's the same.
Mm.
You know, everybody's the same. Everybody has the same longings.
Yeah.
You know, to be seen and not seen, to be loved and given a lot of space, and to be listened to and to have their privacy and to be honored. And to be, it's just so curious. We're all the same.
I do know that.
Yeah.
And I know that everything that occurs in me in shades occurs in other people in different shades.
Yes.
You know, and I know that, you know. And that's beautiful, you know, that's fine.
And thank you for giving us all permission with your beautiful statement. Is I either speak the truth or I don't say anything at all. I love that. I love that. That's like you're giving us all permission to live like that as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just find that's the only way to be, really.
Yes.
It's the only way to be authentic.
Yes, it's very relaxing to be honest and transparent and
okay. Well, thank you so much for listening to me and talking to me. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me to the wedding.
It was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful wedding. They had a hand fasting in a clearing in a forest.
Mm.
And it was just absolutely amazing. The trees were touching, the sky was sunny, the sun was coming through the trees in fingers. Oh, it was incredible.
Yes.
So gorgeous.
Oh, thank you, dearest.
Okay, thank you so much. Much, much love. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
It's Ophelia.
Hello.
It's been a long time.
I know. I love your sharings. They're always so like, oh.
Oh, they're just, it's so funny, this life business. So yesterday I had, Sorry, I just had to take a deep breath there. I always get so nervous when I
lots of timelessness, no rest.
Deep. I had a really difficult argument with Marty, and it was just like the final straw. Like, we're both sort of at this point of realization that enough fighting, enough.
Mm-hmm.
And we both know, like, that love is there, but for some reason, it is just not. I don't even know what it is. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, for me, I had to sit with that because it was a habit I had with partners, not the last one, but the ones up to that. And, you know, I finally saw these memories from my youth, and there was big love with my parents when in the beginning, but then there was fighting. And innocence here just picked up, oh, that's how you do relationship.
Right.
Fighting love, fighting love, fighting love. You know, that polarity.
Yeah.
And so it was nice to just show it, oh, no, not needed.
Yeah.
Not needed. Thank you, though.
I had this big, after sort of, I just laughed. I had to leave, and I had this, it felt like this big rock in my throat, like a big heavy rock, and it moved all the way from my throat down into my stomach, and I thought, what is this? Like, I just noticed this real heavy solid block, and I went, there is no way that this is too hard for me to carry this burden. I don't feel it today, it's gone, but man, I was really, like, holding this, like, I could feel, like, this big, heavy energy kind of moving through my body. So, it's just too hard sometimes.
Yeah, but just honor there was some alchemy transmutation that happened. Just a few thank yous. And just agree that it definitely feels hard.
Yeah, there's this little part of me that just goes, help.
Yes, but I love how it moves down into your belly. Can we go there? Because that's the intelligence was trying to draw the movable attention to that. So we're just bringing our, you could put your hand on your belly, you would know best.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, oh, that's fascinating.
Oh, I can feel a lot of energy moving, but it's not heavy this time.
Yeah, and just in your own way, welcoming it and honoring it as divine.
I think it was like clearing space, actually. It feels like it was clearing space for more room.
Mm-hmm. Ah, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, there's just space now. And it feels very peaceful.
Yes, and just feed it a bit with gratitude.
Does every sage go through this where it just feels like it's too hard?
Well, there's definitely that interpretation in the moment, for sure. Because the infinite is returning back to its naturalness in sensation and emotion and thought and the whole body. And
I see.
Yeah, so, I mean, we can say, something can say, wow, it's hard. We can go, yep. And then there's also a natural ease, which is very curious.
Yeah, I'm definitely noticing that more. Like, it's almost like the resilience has expanded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just more of it available.
Yes, yes, yes. Finally, it's noticed in all of us. Oh, thank you, thank you. I'm just doing a universal thank you for all the grace. And
and I woke up this, I woke up this morning and I wasn't dead, so I guess everything's okay.
And even if you were apparently dead, you would be bright and shiny and alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's so funny just noticing how, you know, it's so hard. You feel like you just can't take it or you're going to die, and it's like, okay, so be it.
Yes, another experience in consciousness, moving through.
Yeah, it comes and it goes, and it comes and it goes. It's sort of.
Yeah, but how wise you are to notice is that when there is this flaring up of something and a being with it, and when it subsides, there's more of a felt sense of space.
Yes. So true.
Yeah, what we think is a personal unfoldment is just consciousness clarifying itself. Consciousness has been very satisfied with its awesome Shakespearean play, and it's just plumbed the depths and rose up to the heights, and now it's like smoothing out into its big substratum satisfaction, going, really good show. It was good, it was good, and we all survived.
Bravo.
Bravo. And some of us, you know, a deep bow to folks that are still in the flaring up phase, but natural courage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Wow.
Yeah, thank you, dear.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
How are you? It's Rosie.
Hey, Rosie.
Hola.
Hola.
Whenever you talk about the role of Pamela and the consciousness and all the things you just mentioned, it always catches my attention. And from the last time that I talked to you, I had like a really cool, I would have to say like a piercing epiphany occurred for me, you know, seeing the interpreter and this kind of thing. And, and my mother went into crisis. And so it seems to always happen when I have these real clear, beautiful moments. I have like this huge crisis, and what I feel a confusion about how you say that there's always the space or the role of. This seems to be an experience that I'm witnessing, and yet I have a defender because my life has been struggle with illness and whatever. So I have an inability to a combination of things, trust or whatever, to just give way to life, to witness life and consciousness and let it come up, come enough. So there's a confusion for me of that, because I've always had to defend, so I have a defender unable to relax.
Yeah, and that is not personal at all. It just comes with the body. And so for me, the only way to soothe it was to always say thank you to it. Now, your satsang might be totally unique with it, but it's on automatic. It's oddly enough another form of devotion, but I would say it's uncomfortable devotion.
Yeah, it's for me at this point, I honor that I have been able to survive, but I wish to transcend, I wish to thrive, and it doesn't seem to work for me.
Okay.
It takes me out of just the relaxation of experiencing life and not...
Yes, that's so true.
Planning.
Now,
planning.
That's actually, it thinks it's giving you good service.
Right, so I
confuse by maintaining tension.
Right, and then there's the, you know, my thoughts come in and I realize, well, that's just, you know, file review or whatever.
And
now
I
get confused who's talking now, you know, like the defense.
Yeah, but that's just the one being that's noticing everything.
Correct, so that's when you say the role Shakespearean play catches me every time. It's a good invitation for me.
Mm.
And I don't...
Yeah, so see if this resonates. But it seems like, you know, you're abiding. You're the constancy, noticing
right.
things that come and go.
Right.
And then there's just protective services. Is it just a little fried and overzealous?
Yeah.
Yeah, so just... I had to show them that tension is not practical, because from their point of view, when I interviewed it, the defenses thought tension and stress and vigilance and all that stuff was practical because it enhanced awareness. Awareness
right,
would be
yeah.
more alert, so then
right.
creepy things didn't happen to us. But actually, I had to really... have some parlaying with them and get it to see that it actually is the opposite. It just exhausts the system.
Yes, it is. It's tiresome, physically tiresome.
Yeah, nicely said. Mm. Tiresome.
So I'm unable to click over. It frustrates me.
Well, it's you're already clicked over, but they haven't yet.
Oh, God, but I feel like Sybil when we talk like that. I just don't know who they are. And
yeah, but I'm unfortunately making it into two to get it all back to one. But
no, I understand, because I get it. This is, I accept everything that is part of me.
Yes.
I understand.
So what I find is that you can't really reason with the defenses, but it's like a little mm-hmm. compassion. Just as if you had a, I don't know, an animal that was just way too stressed. And if we yelled at the dog, it wouldn't work. But if we're just a little tender with that, the animal defenses, it's like, oh, yeah, it's okay, you're right. The past was rough.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. And then here,
cry. How is that useful? You know, like, then I cry, and then
Yeah, but it's seeking relief, and it doesn't know how. It's like one of those animals in the zoo that keeps going around in circles because
right.
the space
yeah.
is too small.
That's exactly what it is. You're right.
Yeah,
it's like a pacing inside.
That's it. Now bow to it, because it wants to uncontain itself, and it is my shorthand for life or energy or consciousness. I'm just bowing to it.
There's a rage in it.
Yeah, and it's righteous. It's true. You're right. We didn't like half of it. And we certainly don't like being contained. Made small. Just bowing, bowing. Yes, yes.
All I see is confusion.
Yeah, that honor confusion and say, of course you don't know. Even Rosie and I, as sages, we don't know. This is
to me, it's like, can the true Rosie just stand up? That's, you know, like, you know,
it
like,
is already. It is already.
Okay.
So go back to that pacing lion or whatever
right.
it is that's roaring, saying, get me out of this cage. Roaring, yeah. And invite it to uncontain itself, and it doesn't have to know how. And we don't have to have a clue.
It's a holding on, like a, if I let go, you know, something's going to happen. And
yeah, and just tell it doesn't have to let go or hold on. It's just getting really, really big and opening. And there's no rush. Like even, you know, if you and I went to a zoo, I really like that scene in Harry Potter where all the cages disappeared and all the wildness was free, even though the humans got really scared.
Right.
So we're just, a lot of animals, if the cage is open, they won't leave. They have to check it out a little bit. I'm just checking
okay, well,
out.
You know, this is the image, and I don't want to get hooked on images too long, but it's beneficial. Is there's like I see the image of holding on to like this handle, you know, like this handle, and there's this thing, but in front of me is this huge empty space.
Yes.
So I
yeah.
I'm unable to release the handle at the door.
But it doesn't have to. Invite, we're working with nature, so tell it it can hold on to the handle and can it check out the big space. And it doesn't have to do anything it doesn't want to do, and there's no rush.
Yeah, I'm going to lose control if I... And then, of course, the little interpreter, well, this is BS. What the hell's talking? And
yeah, but just saying that, it was just so, we're just checking it out. I had to ask that big, empty space to let me feel its heart, because it made me tremble in my boots. Not that I was wearing boots, but...
Well, I'm literally, like, sweating here, and I'm not even doing anything.
I know. And
it's
we're
so
just...
stupid.
No, but it's natural, because... Innocence is used to what it's used to, and all of a sudden there's this just huge potentiality and big space, and it's going, yikes. So we're just saying, check it out, check it out.
Okay. I get what I always get is nothing, 0 point.
Yeah, yeah. And can you feel that 0 point?
Nothing's happening. The handle isn't happening. The space isn't happening.
Yes. And can you find the restfulness in that? It's sort of It's like a hammock, really. Like, oh, thank God, nothing, yay.
Yeah, I know, I'd like to be perched watching like this, but somehow I get caught.
Well, it's just finally we notice that that's what we really are. Because here you're viewing it.
Right, I am viewing it, you're right. It's the common thing that occurs every time.
Beautiful. And if you look into the background even of your body, that's
right, it's a little
what
more
what everything's made of is just space, quiet.
Right, right. It's like a super awareness.
Yeah. And we're just getting the body-mind used to that level of open, quiet, stillness, space.
Yes. I see, yeah, that the mind clears in the sense that it just, it doesn't have to do anything or think
That's
anything.
That's it, yeah.
Right.
And my body-mind had to get used to it because I was always sort of like poised in flight mode, you know what I mean?
Right, I do.
One foot out the door just in case.
Yeah. I know. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I know. That's such compassion now for humanness because, like, wow, everybody's been so brave and we've been just through it all, and like now we get to rest. It's like, thank God.
Just get in your mind and to stay, and yeah, it's like a constant cultivation of that, but that's not really happening because it's already there, so it feels like I'm always cultivating.
Yeah, for me, I like that word, but for me it was like just getting the body-mind used to that it's okay to be still and that it's safe. Because before I had so much adrenaline and stress and everything, so I could respond in a heartbeat to threat. And I just had to kind of keep stroking the body mind almost like it was like one of those animals that had been chased by a lion and barely survived but did. And now it's like, oh, yeah, now I'm a lion in the sun with occasional moments of feeling like a gazelle on the run, you know?
Right, and then if you see like a warrior, the warrior's not like a panic pacing crazy person. They're warriors.
Right.
They're,
yeah,
you know,
they're just here. Like a mountain.
Still, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, understood. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Have a great
Bowing
day.
Bowing across back. The country to you.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I was just wondering if all of us can join in, of course, peace and beauty and tranquility and creativity happen all over the world, but attention is also drawn here. We've had a huge devastation of fires, and I know that happens often every summer around the world, but maybe we can all bow to beings all over the world that need some extra support. And you'll notice as love where your awareness is drawn in the world, where this love wants to bring its blessing and medicine and constancy of support and compassion. And love has so many expressions and moods, and one is can be a joyful bow and also a bow of compassion tinged with sorrow. And just noticing how love wants to nourish this one sangha of humans and animals and nature all over the world, under the sea, in the forests, in the cities, might want to enter the heart of all beings to reassure. You would know best. It's always a spontaneous happening, and yet this time we're invoking it. A little extra blessing, a little extra support. And you can trust where awareness is drawn to a friend that's being challenged, or to a country, or nature itself, or animals. And just letting that love flow, uncontain itself. And just by this many sages gathering together as compassion, as substratum, as the ultimate medicine, there's a quantum blessing, a quantum gifting. And we have time for one more really quick sharing. If anybody wanted to speak about where you noticed love flowed, or how when we function as compassion, what's noticed, you would know best where your awareness was drawn.
I hold the globe of the earth in my left hand with San Diego on the top, the North Pole pointed north, and I wave my right hand like a cloud very slowly moving, sending grace to the whole earth, stirring infinity gently, invisibly, to to bless the whole world.
Yes.
Joining with 25 of my friends all over the world, blessing the whole world.
Especially those people.
Thank you, Rich.
Their houses burned down in Northern California.
Yes, we're sending blessings to all the friends that lost their homes.
They've lost.
Thank you, Sandra.
Can you hear me?
Hey, Pamela.
Yes?
Yes. This is Liz in London.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, Liz. I'm just so happy that you spoke of this because I don't know if you know that in Europe there is a massive refugee crisis. Thousands and thousands of families fleeing the war in Syria. Hundreds of thousands of people walking across Europe to try and find safety.
Yeah.
It's very moving and humbling to see the pictures on television. Families with really small children, and you realize how desperate they are to have left their homes to try and find safety for their families.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for speaking. It's really that's one way compassion is drawn at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you, dear.
And this is the apparent end of this satsang, and of course satsang is eternal. It's that which animates everything and gazes out of everyone's eyes, no matter if they're in role play or not. No distinction. Everyone is a sage. So returning the hosting back to the beautiful Dahlia, and with much gratitude to Open Circle, and to all the sages on the call and all the beings everywhere. Well, what we can do is all unmute ourselves if we like. Just say goodbye or not, whatever you like. But I'm feeling such gratitude to everyone.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Ophelia.
Thank you so much, Pamela. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Pamela, dear.
Oh, thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Pamela. Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela. And hi to Taya.
Oh, sweet.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pamela. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pamela.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Hello, dear Sangha. This is Dahlia. Can you all hear me?
Yes, Pamela? We can.
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. Sorry for the technical difficulties there.
No worries. We all said our adieus and love, but you probably have some announcements, right?
A couple of announcements here. We have a satsang, Kela satsang next Sunday with Neelam. There's details about that on the Open Circle webpage. And then Pamela will be joining us again for Telesatsang 2 Sundays from now, October the 4th. And just thank you very much, Pamela, and thank you, everyone, for gathering and supporting each other in this week.
Oh,
I'll unmute you all again for your farewell. Much love, everybody.
Much love, dearest. Bye-bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.